Hey, ladies, real quick before we get started, I know y'all love yourself a problem solved episode, and I have to say something that I don't really want to say because I prefer that you live in a dream world where I wrote the problem solved song and I sung the problem solved song, but none of that is true. And I feel the need to tell you that problem solved was actually written by a company. Okay, I'm recording something, so I'm going to need you to step on out. Okay, bye. Little real life podcasting action for you right there. So the problem solved song was actually written by a company called Songfinch. And I wanted to tell you about them because that is an amazing gift idea. You get to write like a little story about the person or the event that you want to write a song about. And in 7 days, they come up with something amazing. You also get to pick the song style, which is super fun. So that's songfinch.com. I'm also telling you about them because in 2 weeks, you are going to hear the brand new Struggling Sisters song that Songfinch also wrote. Anyway, I just have to get off my chest that I did not, in fact, write or sing the problem solved song, but that it's all the work of Songfinch. All right, let's get started.
My dear Rebecca, I gotta be honest. Post your cat on Instagram a little bit too often. You're always on vacation, and everybody knows that you sell lipstick. Oh yeah, Rebecca, you're such an awesome teacher. You tell me about technology and every brand new feature. Without you, I don't know what I'd do about uploading new photos to my story. I can't believe you make me laugh so hard. I split my pants. Ooh, you always seem to get me. Never met in person, but I still know you so well. You love your white furniture and groceries at your doorbell. We've got matching spirit animals, but we couldn't be more different if we tried. Ooh, you always seem to get me smiling. Ooh, no matter what you do, I'll be the tailor. Helping people with their problems, but we don't know a thing about them. Take a shot and we'll laugh all the way. We're helping people with their problems, but we don't know a thing about them. Take a shot and we'll laugh all the way. Ooh, you always seem to get me smiling. Ooh, no matter what you do.
You?
I'm good. How are you?
Good.
I'm so excited to talk to you right now.
I know. I'm okay. My doctor's appointment, my follow-up, my like 2 weeks to check on my incision is at 12:40. So I like strategically planned to come here an hour early. This is like become my little podcast studio, is this parking lot here.
Oh,
but the problem is that they share the parking lot with the movie theater And apparently everyone is at the movies on Thursday at 11:30 and there's no parking spots. So
that's a random time for it to be busy.
I know. I don't understand.
Do they like have a senior special or something?
I don't know. They must. Weird. They must. But I kind of want to go to the movies instead of my doctor's appointment.
Yeah. Okay. So are you parked and ready to start solving problems?
I'm parked. Yes.
Okay. So first we need to hear about everything that just happened to you and your body. Maybe not in graphic detail, but... So,
you sure about that?
Well, I do have a question because this stuff is so fascinating to me.
Yeah.
So you were awake during everything.
Yes.
But they have like a screen or like a sheet so that you don't see your bowels or what?
Correct. Yeah. So you're laying flat on your back. It's more likely that Neil, because he's sitting by my head.
Yeah.
That if he like stood up or did something, he would see more than I would. Because when you're laying down, you can't see what's going on, you know.
You're like literally that magic trick of the woman sawed in half.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. Yep. So you're awake. They like rarely put anyone all the way under now for C-sections. Only if the spinal tap, like where they numb you, only if that doesn't work, then they'll put you all the way under. But I guess only 1% of people it doesn't work on. So, you want to know how they test if it works or not?
Yes.
They just start cutting and then they ask you how you're feeling. And if you're not screaming, then it must be working.
Oh my gosh. Do you ever wonder, like, are surgeons secretly murderers? Because, like, to just cut into another human being, that's got to be some kind of crazy on your brain.
I know.
Okay, so here's my question. Because I love blood and guts, and I love all that stuff.
Yeah.
In a medical situation.
Sure, of course. Yes.
If I had ever been pregnant and needed to have a C-section, I would want to have seen. I would be like... Show me what's happening here.
Yeah.
Could I have, or is that like a no?
There's a new thing out nowadays where they put a clear drape up instead of like a blue drape. So most of the time you have a blue like curtain between your head and the rest of your body kind of that like goes up into the air.
Yeah.
There's this new thing out. I didn't do it. They didn't offer it to me. I didn't ask about it, but had I asked, they might've done it. There's a clear drape so you can see more.
Okay.
Of what's going on, but I think you would need some sort of mirror to look up into and down to see exact, like, you could YouTube it, Emily, if you really want to see. Or is it just if you were getting it done, you'd want to see? You don't want to see some random stranger on the internet get it done?
Well, no, I mean, I've seen stuff like this in nursing school, and I don't remember if I saw a cesarean. I saw, like, a vaginal delivery.
Okay.
But I don't remember. Anyway... I just know that I love looking at that stuff, and I don't know if they would be fine with that or not.
Yeah, I think they're a lot more progressive than they used to be.
Okay.
Like, with C-sections, a lot of times they wouldn't let you hold your baby right away, but now they do. So there's a lot. I don't know. Maybe you could even offer to perform it.
Oh, can I do it myself? Can I DIY this? I saw it on Pinterest.
Exactly. Yeah.
So I have another question. Do they give you something to where you're like pretty chill about the whole thing? Are you like on a medication to calm you down?
I think so. The anesthesiologist stands right by your head and they have like a whole arsenal of stuff. So if you start to feel nauseous, you just say, I think I'm going to throw up. And then they like give you something and it takes that away. I'm feeling dizzy. And then they'll give you something else. Like, they're constantly watching my blood. My blood pressure dropped really low at one point, and I could feel that happening. Like, I just knew, like, oh my gosh. Like, I just feel really, you know, when you have low or high blood pressure. Yeah. And I looked over at the monitor, and it was, like, super low. And Neil's has been an EMT for a while, and he's like, they're going to give you something. Just, you know, like, he saw me. And so they're, like, just right on top of it. So I don't think you could freak out or, like, get too anxious because they would give you something to chill out if you were.
Okay.
But yeah, my C-section this time took over 2 hours because I had so much scar tissue to get through from the previous ones.
So now is this your fourth one?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And they say that it's just harder each time, or do they cut in the same exact spot, or do they go like next?
I'm not sure. That's a good question. My scars, like, from the outside look like they're really on top of each other, but maybe they're just like a millimeter off each time. I don't know about inside. what they do. That's where the scar tissue was inside, not the outside part.
Okay. What does it end up looking like outside? Are you like, it's just like a giant line, horizontal line?
Yeah, like Frankenstein, you know?
Does that bother you?
So it goes away. In fact, when I was getting prepped for this C-section, one of the nurses says, "Who did your other C-sections? I can barely see your scar."
Oh, wow.
And it's true. Like, I don't know if that's true for everyone, but it's been, it would have been 5 years since my last one, and you can barely see it.
Okay, cool.
So it, I mean, it looks nasty now because it's still healing. Yeah. It looks like Frankenstein now, but it doesn't always look like Frankenstein. And it's way better. They used to cut like vertically over your stomach, like from your boobs to your hoo-ha.
I was wondering what you were going to, I was like, and what are you going to call that?
But now they cut lower, like they cut horizontally, like right under your underwear line.
Was yours vertical and horizontal?
Oh, no. That was like 70 years ago. Not that long. Probably when if my mom had had a C-section, I think. So like 35 years ago.
Okay.
Which doesn't seem smart.
I would have assumed it was horizontal. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, it is now.
Why didn't they ask us 70
years
ago?
Right, I know. Then from what I gather, they like pull your skin back. I don't know. This is as far as I go with thinking about it. But
oh, and then you just tune out. Then I'm like, and then what happened?
And then what? Yeah, I know. I've thought about, the closest I got was I Instagram hashtag searched C-section to like see pictures or videos, but they don't get super graphic there. I wasn't brave enough to go to YouTube to actually see what happens.
Uh-huh.
Now maybe I will because it's over and I'm not having another one.
Yeah.
It is interesting. It's interesting for sure.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and I think for me, I YouTubed when I had that surgery on my nose. I YouTubed that.
Beforehand or after?
Oh, after. Because to me, it's fascinating. And you just got to know, this is like this guy's regular job. Like he's, it's so not interesting to him or gross. It's very regular. He knows what he's doing. Except if you're like Dr. Dunch in Dr. Death. Have you been listening to that?
No, what is that?
Oh my gosh, it's a new podcast. It happened in my town. A guy, he was a neurosurgeon, but he did not know what he was doing. He basically just thought he could. This is a very strange case because he kind of was crazy because he obviously thought he was capable of things he wasn't capable of, but he also did actually go to school. Anyway, he paralyzed his best friend. He killed all kinds of people in my town. And everybody.
Your town is so weird, Emily. You have weird things go on. I do not like that.
It's like Dallas, though. It's not that weird.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway, but
so
yeah.
That's brain surgery, right? So he was performing brain surgery on his best friend?
It was like spine, like the,
spine.
Like coming out of like the high up. No, maybe also brain. I can't remember. I'm pretty sure he's a neurosurgeon, so it deals with all that. But anyway, listen to it. It's called Dr. Death.
Okay.
It's only 6 episodes, and then because it's recently happened in Dallas.
Oh,
and so,
my gosh.
Anyway, yeah.
I love podcasts like that. Like, remember Serial?
I do. Are you on the third season?
I'm not into it.
Not the third one? I didn't like the second one, but the third one's interesting.
Really? I'm a few episodes in. Maybe I should keep going. And nothing can beat the first season.
I know. It's hard to repeat that.
Yeah.
But they're going
to
try.
I'll have to look it up. Dr. Death? Is that what you said?
Dr. Death.
Yeah, that's so sad.
Yeah, it is. So ladies, this holiday, I really want you to be like the most popular family member at that whole gathering because you gave everybody the gift of comfort. And that comfort is coming from Tommy John. Tommy John is no longer just a man's brand. They have a new women's line that has been called Life Changing. Ladies, I have some of their products. They are so soft, so comfortable. I'm not just saying that. They are amazing. Tommy John is the most comfortable underwear on the planet. Their men's and women's underwear have a no wedgie guarantee. The waistbands stay put. The fabrics are luxuriously soft. They're feather light. There's moisture wicking. Basically, they move with you, not against you. There's no bunching. There's no rolling. There's no riding up. And with their limited edition holiday gifts and daily deals, there's something for everybody on your list. So give the gift of mind-blowing comfort this holiday season with limited edition holiday gifts from Tommy John. Save 20% on your first order at TommyJohn.com/SWP. That's TommyJohn.com/SWP for 20% off. Oh, speaking of surgery, so I pierced my nose, and this, by the time this comes out, this will already be over, so.
I saw your struggling sisters live yesterday.
Oh, you saw it. Okay, so yeah, he's a little mad.
I'm so sorry. Well, I mean, we should update people. Go ahead and just say what happened in case people
okay, so
don't know.
I had nose surgery like 7 months ago. To me, I mean,
it's healed. It's over.
It's like way over. Well, right. It's not over if you think about how long it takes the nose to heal, about a year. So I got my nose pierced, and then it got infected, and I was doing all my best wound care. So I'm like super embarrassed that I can't even keep my own self from getting infected. Right. For me, it's like a pride thing. Like, I've got gloves. I've got, like, I'm using all the right techniques, and it's infected.
You've got a degree.
I've got a degree. Anyway, and so this thing is infected in the middle of my face. Like, the part that sticks out of my face is also infected. So I went in, and the nurse was, like, not pleased with me. And the doctor was super, much more chill. And so anyway, I'm trying to get rid of the infection so I don't have to lose my nose ring. And I talked to my mother-in-law, and I was like, yeah, you know, my nose ring's infected. And she goes, well, it's all right. When I was young, I did a bunch of stupid things too.
I love it.
What do you think about my nose ring?
That's
I can't tell.
That is the best. I love her so much.
I said, well, what I would like is I would like sleeves on both my arms. Well, really just one of tattoos.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I said, so really, this is quite tame. She goes, yeah, I think your nose ring's lovely. Put it that way, I'm super a big fan of it.
Okay, but I feel like this is more the doctor's fault than yours. Did you sign something that said your nose is going to take a year to heal, so don't pierce it?
Well, no, I just knew it took a year because that's what he told me. It just didn't occur to me at the time that it just didn't occur to me.
Because it was a very spontaneous peer pressure decision when you did it.
It just, yeah, it just felt really right.
Yeah. So
I'm still so glad I did. And even, I mean, I went 2 days ago and the infection appears to be gone. Like, obviously, you have to keep treating it and stuff. So I think we'll be fine. I think we're out of the woods, or we're at least headed in the right direction in the woods.
It's a Taylor Swift song.
Oh, is that I don't know. Okay.
Yeah.
Great. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's get back to you. I already forgot Emilio's name. Since you didn't name him the right name, I haven't committed it to memory yet.
It's Gavin George.
I would have put money on Luke. I don't know why.
Really?
Okay.
That's a cute one.
That is cute.
I wonder why that was never in our list.
You never suggested it. I suggested the one you should have done. Gavin can be second place.
Right, yeah.
Gavin George.
Yes.
I like it.
So Corbin likes to call him Georgie, which I think is super cute.
Yes.
I've been calling him Gavvy for some reason. That's been coming out. But yeah, we decided like 2 days before he was born what his name was.
Okay.
So it still takes us a while to get it right. We keep calling him Corbin.
Well, yeah, I named Porter and immediately started calling him Parker.
Yeah.
It's just very confusing. So much has changed.
Yeah. Do you have another Parker in your family?
No Parker.
You just couldn't get it right.
Just, yeah. I mean, in my defense, I had 4 hours. I didn't even know he existed.
True.
So it came on real quick.
That's stressful. I mean, you had a harder, I had much more time than you did, and I still am having a hard time.
Yeah. Okay, so tell me, what kind of baby is this Gavin person?
It's a boy.
I know. I mean, like, is he a good baby?
I know what you mean. Yes, he is a dream baby. He sleeps like 8 to 10 hours at night without eating. And I'm like,
gosh,
you are amazing. If this was my first child, I would have been waking him up to eat because they say every 2 to 3 hours, feed them. But now that he's my fourth, they're going to live. They're going to be fine. He eats more during the day. He sleeps at night, like just enjoy it. So yeah, he's great. He like has barely cried. He's also still sleepy newborn. Like he's only 2 weeks old today. So okay. I'm just enjoying the stage while it's here because I know it's not going to last very long. But he's super snuggly, cute. He always has this look of, I don't know if you saw my Insta story last night.
Surprise.
But surprise and like concern. Like, what? Is everything okay? Do you have this under control, Mom? It's like these eyes like, this doesn't seem like good, like this situation.
I love it.
I've never had a baby look so like concerned about life, about if everything's going to be okay.
That is so, it will be so interesting to see if he grows up and is still very, like, he's going to be like a risk manager for an insurance company or something.
Yes, very much a rule follower and like doesn't drive over the speed limit.
Yeah. I love it. So what do your kids think?
They are obsessed. They love him so much. He is the current family favorite. Okay. And I'm not ashamed to say it. My other kids have turned into slight monsters. Okay. I don't know if it's just because I have a lower tolerance for like anything right now or if it's just they really have turned into monsters. I'm not sure. I'm still figuring this out. But they're just loud and they fight a lot and they don't sit and read chapter books for hours on end.
Spontaneously start like cleaning the house for fun. Yeah, I know.
Right. Yeah.
My kids are broken too.
So, but I mean, they've been great helpers. Clara loves to help change his diaper and pick out outfits. She changes him like a Barbie doll. She's never been into Barbie dolls, but apparently she's into the real thing.
So good. How about your remodel of your house?
You know, okay. So we got the floors put in the night before my C-section. And so I had friends come over and my parents come over and we were moving furniture. It was like extreme home makeover edition in my, like, just get everything moved in. Not everything was finished, but the floors were done. So I just wanted my bed moved in there and the crib put together before I got home. Mm-hmm. And we had spent the night before that, or Neil really did, like painting and priming that room for until like 3 a.m. or something, because we only had 8 hours to paint it before the floor. It was just disaster. Anyways, the vanities got put in this week. And then as soon as the vanities got put in, our basement started flooding. So then there was something wrong with the pipes between the first and second floor. So now my second bathroom is cut open into the wall.
The new one?
No, the only one we had originally is now non-functioning. So apparently we just can't have two functioning bathrooms at the same time.
Okay, so was the leak related to the remodel?
The pipe. No, just old pipes in our house that had corroded that they couldn't see, obviously. So there hadn't been any water running from the second floor, you know, I don't know for how long, but at least as long as we've had the house. So once water started running, then the basement started flooding.
Okay, so is that fixed now?
Yes. So the vanities upstairs work and our bathroom downstairs is now in shambles. So, you know, it's okay.
Great.
I feel less like anxious about it now that he's here. I don't know. Okay. I was trying so hard for everything to be perfect when he came home.
Yeah.
It got as far as I could have hoped, I guess. And now, whatever. There's strange men watching me breastfeed, you know.
Cool.
It's awesome. Yeah.
That's good. Are you having all the like happy about life hormones that happen apparently?
I did for a week.
Okay.
I still go back and forth between them, I think, but I definitely noticed a specific day. I wonder what day it was. I posted it on my Instagram feed, not my story. So there's a post there that's like, the adrenaline has left and like the hormones are creeping back in.
Okay.
I could tell like a day. I think it was around 7 or 10, somewhere in there.
Okay.
Yeah, because that first week you just feel like superwoman, like I can do anything.
Oh, that's so good.
It is good that they get that God gives you that. It should be longer. God should give us that longer, like the first year.
I'm sure, yes. And then again, when they're adolescents, please.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Right around age 10, starting then, would be great. Totally. I feel like if I blink too long, I might fall asleep right now.
Okay.
But I'm not, again, getting good sleep, you know? So it's. Okay. I think it's just part of the process. I don't know.
I feel bad
for those mamas who babies don't sleep.
Yeah. They're not a big fan of you right now.
Yeah, sorry.
It's all right. Sometimes it can be hard to know what gifts to buy people. If you have kids, that means your kids have grandparents. And the best surefire way to always knock it out of the park is if it has something to do with a picture of those grandbabies. Am I right? For a really special gift for the people in your life, you have to check out Canvas People. Canvas People is going to print your favorite memories on canvas and turn them into unique works of art that's going to add a beautiful touch to any home that they're in. I personally just bought 3 more canvases. They are arriving tomorrow. I cannot wait. Sadly, I wish they were gifts for other people. They are gifts for me. You guys, these prints look like pieces of art. So now, as a special, very limited holiday offer, canvaspeople.com is offering their popular 11 by 14 photo canvases completely free. That's right, free. These are normally going to sell for $69.99, but for this week only, you'll pay nothing. Just cover the shipping and handling. To get your free canvas, text SWP to 484848. Just pay shipping and handling. This offer won't last. Text SWP to 484848. That's SWP to 484848. Message and data rates may apply. So this can be a really busy time of year. Sometimes this is when we kind of let healthy habits start to slide. I would encourage you to, and myself, I would encourage myself as well, to not let the habit of taking care of your skin slide during this holiday season. I love using BioClarity. They have 2 skincare routines, the clear skin routine for breakout prone skin, and then the essentials routine for normal to dry skin. I'm loving the essentials routine because it's really lightweight, but I can tell it's doing a great job of moisturizing my skin. It helps minimize redness and it evens out my skin tone. It contains great ingredients like chamomile, green tea, cucumber, and then it has Floralux, which is from chlorophyll, which is from plants. Floralux is an antioxidant. It has anti-inflammatory properties and it feeds your skin from the outside in. It really feels great, and I know that it doesn't just feel great, it's doing great things for my skin. So get started with healthier habits with your skincare. Just go to bioclarity.com. My listeners are going to get their first month for half off of their routine, plus the shipping is free, and it comes with 100% risk-free money-back guarantee. But you need to enter my code SWP. That's bioclarity.com and enter my code SWP.
I don't have any questions to ask you about your life. How are you?
Okay. I'm fine. I'm doing great. I was thinking, how are my kids doing? Well, I don't know if I told you, one, the guidance counselor called me because one of them is blackmailing other children in the class for Cheetos.
Oh,
their demands
wow.
are fire Cheetos. The other one is going to the guidance counselor for cursing at people, calling them names.
Yes.
Yeah. So we have a lot happening in our house. And it's just, you know, it's good for me, though, because I could not be trying harder to be amazing for these kids.
Yeah.
And they're still, like, jacking it up, which is fine. And they won't always jack it up. And sometimes they're lovely. And as people, I really do like them. But it's helping me realize that there's just nothing I can do.
Okay, well, let's connect that to identity, because I feel like a lot of times as moms, that becomes our identity. And it's easy when they're young to think we're doing everything right and we're like excelling in this identity thing. Mm-hmm. But as soon as our kids, like I'm starting to notice it in my oldest, like mm-hmm. I must be screwing this up because he has attitudes all the time. Or, mm-hmm. you know, like what do you do to tell yourself this is not my fault?
Okay, so I'm going to counseling every week
yeah.
because I take it so personal with my daughter.
Yeah, right.
So, I mean, as the older women who have spoken into my life say.
I like that your voice got really like
yes,
sweet. And
it got sweet like the older women who speak
into
my life.
Like the older women, yes.
That them messing up now is super great rather than them acting like everything's fine and then wrecking a car because they're drug addicts when they're 16. You know what I mean? Like, so them kind of messing up with blackmailing people for fire Cheetos is still cute enough that it's, and it's small enough of a deal that you mm-hmm. can be like, let's use your creative skills for good things and not bad things.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So you don't see that and think, oh, this is the path they're headed on. Because that's what I tend to see is like if Jonah is depressed or upset or something, then I just see that's the rest of his life. Like that's his path and there's nothing I can do about it. So you seem more hopeful.
Well, it's
I
a
like
choice.
That perspective.
No,
because yeah,
I always think my kids are heading to jail. But if I go, okay, well, so the situation is you saw a kid who was doing something wrong. And you were going to tell on him. But now you decided what I'd like more is some junk food that my mom doesn't buy for me. So it's a creativity thing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And so I feel like, you know, so then you just say, please don't ever do that again. And then would you like some fire Cheetos? Because I'll buy them for you.
That was my next question. Are they banned in your house?
No, but I told my sister about it. And she's like, well, fire Cheetos are pretty good.
That's a really good point.
It's a good point. I think another thing is just keeping on being creative. Like, I like to be really stubborn when my kids are doing stuff that's dumb. I want them to stop because you should stop because that's dumb. But they don't think the same things are dumb as I think are dumb. They think morning devotionals are dumb, and I think they're amazing.
Right.
Especially when I teach them because I am fascinating. So, like, one thing that's been, this is so stupid. One thing that's been driving me bananas is that my daughter will take apples and take the stickers off, which I'm glad she's eating apples, which is super duper great. But she'll take the stickers off and throw them on the ground in front of the sink, like as if we live outside. And I said, you know, I need you to stop it. Oh, yes, ma'am. She'll yes, ma'am me to the end of the world and ain't nothing going to change. And so I said, you do understand saying yes, ma'am is an indication that you plan to obey. It's not just a way to stop the conversation. I think she just thought it was like a period at the end of a lecture. Anyway, so I said, why don't we do this? Why don't you stick these stickers on a paper? And once you get 30 stickers, I'll take you to Target and buy you something.
Amazing. That's so smart.
That girl is having so much fiber in her diet right now. She was super pumped about sticking the stickers on it. Yeah. So anyway, things like that where I'm like, that is so stupid. You should just throw it away because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
Whatever. So just like being creative, even when you feel like this is a waste of time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I forget that they're kids and that they're motivated by different things than I am.
Right. So. Like toys at Target. I mean, I'm equally motivated by something from Target.
Yeah, I mean, and I have bought some stickers to make a sticker chart to buy myself something at Target.
Nice.
But I just haven't decided what I want or what I want to not do. I haven't decided on a goal yet.
Just every day that you wake up, just put a sticker on there.
Yeah, congratulations. Here you are.
Yes.
So.
That's good.
Yeah.
On the other end of, yeah, some of my questions that got sent to me were, so let's take ourselves back to mom of young kids where that's our entire life. Like we don't have time to pursue necessarily other things the way that we want to. Yeah. Most of the questions I got in my inbox were, how do you remember that you're not just a mom? Does that make sense?
Yes.
That you are somebody else too. You know, like you are a person with hobbies and feelings.
Yes. And needs that are valid, just as valid as the kids' needs are.
Right. So tell us, oh wise Emily.
Let me put on my wisdom voice.
Thank you.
I heard a woman on a podcast, I don't even remember what one, but she was talking about how it's important to have hobbies, but it's really important that the hobbies have nothing to do with what you're pursuing every day. So like for me, I grew up very musical. I've played tons of different instruments and it's just something that's really easy for me.
Yeah.
And I've gotten away from that because it's not very practical.
To whip out your ukulele?
Yes. My husband, do you know he plays ukulele?
No, I didn't know that. My kids are taking ukulele class this year in homeschool co-op.
Do they love it?
They do like it.
I think it's a great, because it's small enough, you can keep it out.
Yeah.
It's not like so loud.
Right.
So good.
Yeah. So I have nothing against the ukulele, if you thought I was trying to make like a
joke. Did you say that because you know my husband?
Oh, no, I didn't.
I will go
know that.
In there and he is like, because he works from home, and I'll go in his office and he's playing. He knows three songs and he just loves playing them. It just makes him very happy. So anyway.
While he's working.
Yeah, because so much time he's like has to listen to things. And so he either does that or practices card tricks. Homeboy's got some interesting hobbies.
I like it. So the hobbies have to do with have to do with something that you don't do every day
or completely unrelated. So like if what you do is online a lot, do something that's not online. So I actually think I'm going to start playing the piano more because I love it. Nice. I have a guitar and I love my guitar, but it's because I don't play that much, it hurts my hands.
Yeah, you have to develop those calluses again.
Yeah. And so, you know, you don't need that for a piano. And I've got really long fingers, like strangely long. So
you're a master pianist.
Yes, definitely.
I didn't know you were a musician. This is news to me.
Oh, really? No. Yeah, I competed like all through high school. I was actually really good.
Mm-hmm. I believe it.
I feel like Al Bundy being like, yes, I was a quarterback. Or didn't Al Bundy on, what was that show?
Married with Children.
He always talked about high school football.
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to watch that show.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't have been, but I was, and I did. You need to know about Natural Red because they are mom-made products that Karen made for her family when she started feeling bad about all the harmful ingredients she found in personal care products that she was using. So she started making them for her family, and then she found herself, like statistically half of us do, going through a divorce with 5 kids under 10. So she turned what she was making for her family into her business. She has sent me some of her products, and I love them. My daughter loves her detangler. My husband uses the beard oil. I've got the hand sanitizer in my purse. Natural Red has successfully infiltrated the whole Thomas house. Natural Red products are made from all natural ingredients and essential oils. She has a 100% money back guarantee. So at naturalredessentials.com, use coupon code SWP and you're going to get 15% off your order and free shipping on orders more than $50. So again, that's naturalredessentials.com, coupon code SWP. So check it out and support a mom-made small business. I have a problem from somebody.
Okay.
There's a girl who works with a lot of like early 20s girls. And she's like older. She didn't say how old she was. But she said they're all well-rested and bright-eyed. And I feel like, what word did she say? I feel like an old hag around them. And I don't know, do I just try to be less of an old hag? Or do I just embrace it? My old hagness.
Well, here's the thing. Two things. One, those bright-eyed, bushy-tailed girls are probably complaining to her every day about how busy and tired they are, which just, you know, suck them in the side of the face. And then two, those 20-something girls probably think she's the coolest girl ever. Like, look, they probably look up to her as somebody that they want to be in 10 years. So I doubt that they look at her as an old hag.
Okay.
Don't you think?
Maybe. I mean, I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess maybe they're having thoughts that she is, but...
Honestly, they're thinking of themselves. They're not even thinking of her. That's
true.
Fine.
Yeah, but there's still the real feeling that she feels
exactly
this way.
So I think that's what has to be addressed.
Yes.
I don't think embracing the old hagness is a good idea.
No.
Just because that's not a positive view of yourself.
I feel like I've struggled with this a little bit. I'm realizing the older I get, like, the less trendy I am. Like, I'm no longer dressing cool. And I don't know what to do about that. So I guess I can really relate to her in feeling like I'm going through this transition of turning into an old woman, but I don't want to dress like one. But I don't know what to do because I don't want to wear... How's your romper, by the way? Your jumper?
Okay, so I've got a problem where the bottom of my body is a different size than the top of my body.
Yes, I have that too.
Okay.
So it didn't fit?
No, in order for the top to stay up... The bottom had to be too small.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. You returned it.
Yeah, it wasn't a dream come true. It's fine.
I'm so sorry. I know you were looking forward to that.
It's okay. I made it through.
I mean, part of it is I don't have the energy or the time to go out and try new styles.
So why don't you just say like super classic? I feel like as the years have gone by, I've gotten more fashionable. Not that I get it, but I didn't used to even try. And now I think it's fun.
Okay.
Whereas before, I was just like, nope, I don't understand that. It's too hard. But it's not too hard.
So what do you do to make it not too hard? Do you just find what works for you and what looks good on you? Or do you look at styles and trends and then try to go try those things out, whether they work or not?
I'm more closer to trying them out. And, you know, it's just kind of both. For me, I really like very basic things so that you can... You know, like classic.
Accessorizing up too. You can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I would tell that girl, you know, my friend Kate Bryan told me when I told her one time, this was years ago, I told her I was feeling ugly, just not like really, didn't really feel pretty. She's like, go buy yourself a new lipstick. And it really like seems so little, or go get your nails done, or go paint your, like, but it did help me feel better about myself until the next time, you know, like, I think there's something, there's something to be said. This isn't like, we can't have our identity in how we look or whether we feel like an old hag or not. That's the, like the root that we haven't even talked about yet. But I do think there's something to be said about going and buying yourself a new lipstick, or going to get your eyebrows waxed if they feel like caterpillars, or, you know, doing something for yourself that just gives you a boost of confidence.
Yeah. I mean, just like you would, like, I love going to the store, and if I see something that I think my daughter would love, just buying it and putting it in her closet. Like, I just bought her a shirt last night.
Yeah, that's so sweet.
So it's just the same stuff that you would do for other people. Just do it for yourself sometimes. I think sometimes we don't want to give ourselves that. Like, also, my husband never wants me to buy him anything. And so usually I don't buy him anything because he says he doesn't want it. But I've just recently started being like, I don't actually care. I think you would like this and I'm buying it for you. So
yeah,
he loves cooking and he loves the sciencey side of cooking because he's an engineer. And so he really loves Cooks Illustrated because they kind of they approach cooking scientifically. And so they take recipes and figure out how to make them better using different techniques and different. Yeah, it's very, very involved, way too involved for me. Just give me the recipe and tell me what I should do. But he loves the trying out of it. And so I got him, because, you know, we used to live in Asia. And so it was like the best of all their Asian recipes. So I brought that home for him. And it was $10. It's not like a ton of money, but usually he's like really concerned about finances and me spending too much money. So anyway, I brought it home and I'm like, listen, I thought you'd like this and I can take it back if you don't want it. And he is so pumped about it. So I think, I don't know, just doing nice stuff every once in a while, we need to do that.
It does.
It's a quality of life thing.
It helps with relationships. It helps with your relationship with yourself.
Which is important. We are so mean to ourselves.
I know.
You know what I can tell you though about regarding feeling like an old hag? I started, and I'm not saying what eating plan it is, just I'm not trying to be mysterious. I'm just also not trying to promote any particular thing, you know?
Yeah.
But I started an eating plan and I've lost 10 pounds and I feel so great.
That's, I think, another good point. And I cannot wait to like start exercising again when they give me the clear ahead, the go ahead, because I'm also dreading that because right now I'm like, I can't exercise. Yes. Like, but I do feel so much better when I just walk, even, you know, when I was trying to get 10,000 steps a day before I got pregnant.
Yeah.
You do. You just feel so much better.
For sure.
Good job. 10 pounds. That's a lot.
Yeah.
It's a lot to be proud of.
Thanks.
But you also were perfect just the way you were. Shouldn't I say that too?
You should say that. Yeah. Good. You've covered all your bases.
Okay, good.
So you didn't like me before?
Right. You know, I realized a few years ago, like 3 years ago, that I was actually afraid to lose weight because I didn't want people to notice and say something, which then would imply that I didn't look great before. Do you know what I mean?
Interesting.
Like, I think it was going through one of Elisa's like clean hearting. That clean hearting challenge from like years ago was so great for me. Yeah. But I think it was going through that I realized like, wow, I actually think I'm afraid to lose weight because I don't want people to notice that I lost weight and say something to me about it. So,
but that fear was greater than the wanting to
feel
better. Interesting.
Yeah. I don't like attention on me like at all. I hate birthday parties. I hate opening presents in front of people. So like, I think that was probably where it was stemming from, was that people would say something and notice. And then that would imply that I wasn't okay to them before.
Interesting.
Like, you look great. Like, oh, thanks. Like, was I not okay before? Which I'm not healthy. Like, I wasn't healthy and I'm not healthy. I want to be healthy. So I just wish people wouldn't tell me I look great.
That is so interesting. Yeah, I think it would be a really good encouragement.
But at the same time, if people didn't notice, I'd probably also be really upset. Like, this isn't working. Or, you know, so there's... Yeah. It's not like I don't want people to say something. I don't know. I'm still processing, obviously.
But... Well, the interesting thing is that all of that is external. that A, you can't control, and B, it has nothing to do with you. And so that's tricky because we got to, I hate when people say like, what's your why? But it's actually it's just a really great question. And I had somebody ask me like, what's your why? And I said a bunch of stuff.
For losing weight?
Yeah. And I said a bunch of stuff. And what I didn't realize was they were all negative. Like, because I don't want to this. And because I don't want to this. I don't want to hate getting dressed. I don't want to whatever. And they're like, okay, but what do you actually want? So I realized like how negative, even when I talk about it, how negative I was being.
Which all those things could be said in a positive twist, right?
Yeah.
Like probably all of them could have been.
Yeah.
But the fact that they were coming out negative, that's interesting.
It's interesting. Yeah. I know. Anyway. Okay. So any other ones you want to talk about?
All of mine literally were about being a mom and like having an identity outside of a mom. Okay. And, you know, I think it was years ago that I came across this and I should have looked it up beforehand, but there's a passage in one of the Gospels where Jesus is like gets down to wash his disciples' feet. And it says right before that, something like, because he knew who he was and where he was going, he knelt down and washed their feet. And I was like, that is so key. Like we have such as mothers, like we do, we wipe butts and we, which I'm so glad that you don't even know when your kids poop anymore. I think you said that yesterday on your struggling sisters. Like, I was like, wow, that's something to look forward to. But like, I think we can do these mundane things if we know whose we are and where we're going. It allowed Jesus to bend down and serve people. So if we have that as a as our priority. Anyways, that just stuck out to me a couple years ago.
And we're more willing to do it without being like prickly about it. Like, I've got to do this again.
Right.
I remember when my husband and I first got married, I would start a bunch of fights with him just because I was kind of my first marriage, there was, it was constant chaos and a lot of abusive situation happening. And so I was just used to a lot of chaos happening in the house and in relationships. And so that was a kind of normal to me. And so when he wouldn't like fight back, I took that as a weakness. Like,
Did you think like he doesn't care about you or
like you're like afraid of me
or you?
Yeah. I thought he was like not man enough to fight back because the men that I had seen in my life were just kind of jerks.
Yeah.
And so he told me one day, he's like, you do understand, like, I could take you down in a second. Like, the fact that I don't is strength. It's it's not weakness. And I was like, it was such a mind-blowing moment for me to realize, like, it's strength and it's wisdom and it's humility that makes you keep your mouth shut. Because why would you? I mean, the Bible's full of examples of don't engage with a fool. Then you're just a fool, you know? And I realized, like, I was definitely the fool in that situation.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really good.
So, I don't know. So, for the moms, I would just encourage them to do something. Prioritize. Have a time on the calendar. Everybody's situation's so different. But if you can be like, Thursday nights, I'm leaving. I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm going to take an art class at the community center. Or I'm going to try Tai Chi. Or just something completely unrelated. And I believe that your children will live if your husbands put them to bed.
And you're not going to miss like a life-changing moment. That's another thing. I think I feel like I'm going to miss something big or something cute, or maybe that's just me. I don't know.
No, I mean, I think I've shared this, but I missed my daughter riding a bike for the first time.
Yeah.
And that really bothered me because I missed so much of her life in general. But yeah, we still made it and we still have a great relationship. Like, it just puts in perspective, like, you matter too. And we forget that we matter.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we got to do stuff that like really fills us up, not just be on Facebook, whatever.
What if you can't figure out what that is?
That's why I think, okay, so one time when I first came back from living overseas and I was getting a divorce at 22, I went to counseling because that's my favorite place to be, apparently. And I said,
it's good.
And the lady was like, listen, what do you like? And I was like, I have zero idea what I like.
Yeah.
And so she said, this is what you need to do. And it was so fun for me. She said, get a blank journal, go get a bunch of magazines, and I want you to cut out colors you like, fabrics you like, patterns you like, shirts you like, hairstyles you like. Because I didn't know anything about myself.
Right.
And so I just made a journal about me. And even that small act was really validating that I had preferences and that God made me in a certain way. And it was kind of like uncovering this treasure of who I am, not because I'm great, because I made myself great, but because God made me great with something to contribute. I just didn't know what it was.
Sure.
So that's like, could be a fun activity to just buy 4 magazines and a journal and get some scissors and a glue stick and make yourself a Pinterest board that you can like touch and hold. And there's really just something about doing it tactilely with your actual hands that is, it's great to make a Pinterest board, but it's, I don't know, there's something cool about doing it like in actual real life.
Yeah. Have you gone back to that journal and looked at it?
I do not know where it is, but I wish that I knew.
I would just be curious to see if like some things have changed or if it's the same or...
Yeah, no, it's actually pretty similar usually. I mean, since then I really started looking at that. But then it's funny because even just recently thinking about fashion and jewelry and hair and all that makeup and that stuff that I already always was like, I'm not good at that. I'm not even going to try. I'm behind. Like sometimes we think we're too behind to even catch up.
Yeah.
And so that's something that I've been exploring and it's pretty fun. So I think that's a great way to start that little project.
I love it.
So, okay. I'm having a hard time with this identity one. It's like, it's a hard topic.
It's a deep one.
It's a deep one.
When I look back on my life, my first crisis of identity was in high school when I quit figure skating. Because I was known as like the competitive figure skater in like the youth groups and everyone. That's always the first thing that people ask. How's skating going?
Yeah.
So when I quit, I was like, well, who am I going to be? Like, who am I? And I feel similar with the business now. Like that's become my identity.
Yeah.
That's what people know me for. That's what they ask about. It's hard not to have what you do connected to your identity. Because people ask you, you know, people ask you about it and not because they're like, this is who you are, but they just are curious and they know what you do.
Yes.
But, you know, like, yeah, but it's hard to not internalize that to be like, oh, if I don't do this business forever, like, what's my next, like, who am I? What's my next thing?
I think something that's helpful is knowing that is going to change. You aren't going to do this forever. I'm not going to do what I'm doing forever. But I think finding the common thread throughout, like, kind of helps you know, like, your kind of the track that you tend to run on regarding your purpose. Because I think purpose and identity are different, you know? But, like, for me, I want to encourage women. And I know that I want to encourage the ones who are really not doing great and are willing to talk in a real way about it.
Yeah.
So by the time people get to me, they're willing to admit, like, this isn't all going well.
Right.
And so I think those are my people. And it's because things are not going well for me a lot of times that I'm able to encourage them. And so I don't know. I just think knowing the thread that runs between all the pieces of your identity and what you tend to like to do, that kind of can give you your purpose. So then as your role changes, you kind of still know I was created to X, Y, and Z.
Yeah, that's really good. Yeah. I don't know if you read this, but the other day, Corbin fell off a high stool when he was reaching for something.
Oh, no.
And I said, buddy, like, if you need help, ask one of us. That's what we're here for. And my daughter, without missing a beat, was like, no, we're here to tell people about Jesus. That's our mission.
Oh, I was like, adorable.
Okay, yes, that is correct. But it's like... But one way we can do that is by helping out.
Gosh, that is so funny.
Yeah, I think that's, I love that. I really want to go back and look through, like, what is my purpose? I don't know.
Well, I mean, so for Better Life Bags, you could have done it a whole lot of different ways, but you chose to make it a model that will help other people literally have a better life.
Right.
So you definitely have an outward focus and you're really practical, right? Like,
yeah, but what if I'm tired of it?
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, that's just real. Like, what if it's hard to help people? You know what I mean? Like, if I were to do it again, I don't know that I'd ever want to start another business. Like, just being completely honest. Because people are hard.
Yeah. Can I tell you, though, you are so business-minded that I think if you didn't do this, something would accidentally turn into another business.
You're probably right.
So just knowing, though, that it's going to be helping other people in some practical way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Helping them help themselves, like creating a situation where they can better their lives.
Yeah.
Lives. I don't know. I have no idea what I'm talking about, but I think that I can see that for you. I don't know what that would look like if you're tired.
Sure.
Take a break. You just had a baby.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's true. I should give myself grace.
Yeah.
Yeah. It just, I mean, part of me is always like, why didn't I just create some company where I just sit in a closet by myself?
Like what I'm doing?
Like you.
Yes.
I did not mean that, Emma.
You know, and it's funny because there's drawbacks to both. I am like so lonely over here wishing I had a team of people.
Sure. Yeah.
You know, the grass literally is always greener.
Is always greener. You're right. So it's just a good reminder to be grateful for what we have. My friend Ashley Beam just lost her 7-year-old son to cancer this month, a week before Gavin was born.
Oh my gosh.
And she is just like, I've never been closer to an eternal perspective than like losing my son. I was like, oh my gosh, that's so true. Like how short our life is and how not important this, you know, it is important, but this is not the end. And there's so much more. And we just need to be, I'm just so grateful. I think one of my biggest fears is losing one of my kids or my husband. But I just, instead of living in that fear, through Ashley's example, it's just like, it's going to be okay if it happens. Like, let me just be grateful that right now I have my entire family with me and everyone's healthy and everyone's good.
Gosh, I can't.
Because
imagine.
It could change. I know. And she's just been such an example of faith and strength. And she told me one time when his cancer came back, she said, I don't know why it hurts so good when I get bad news. And what she meant by that was like, God is closer to her. She feels so lucky to have gone through this because she is just incredible. She has like changed my life and made me feel like I can walk through anything after watching her in the way that God has met her where she is. And
I love it. Yes.
Yeah. It's so good. Anyways,
I don't have anything great to say. That's just hard. That's hard stuff.
Yeah.
I do find that the harder things get with my children, particularly my daughter, the more I'm depending on God, and I do see her more and more as God's grace in my life to change me in ways that I would have refused had I had any control over the situation.
Sure.
But I think also recently I've been like a little mad that this is the situation that I'm in.
Yeah.
And I think that's healthy to finally get to where I'm like, this isn't fun and I don't want to play anymore.
Right.
And then settle down and go, okay, God, you're good. You're still here.
Yeah.
You have a plan and I'm being changed.
And it's good.
It's good. Yeah. So.
Mm-hmm.
Well, great. I think we should probably go. You need to go in and see about your incision.
I got to go get my incision checked out. Make sure there's no infection.
There you go. Awesome. All right, Rebecca.
All right, friend.
Always a pleasure.
Yeah,
we'll talk to you next month. All right.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.
Helping people with their problems, but we don't know a thing about them. Take a shot and we'll laugh all the way. Helping people with their problems, but we don't know a thing about them. Take a shot and we'll laugh all the way. Ooh, you always seem to get me smiling. Ooh, no matter what you do.